Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Betsy Turner and I'm the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. It's my joy to welcome you to a time of worship for this All Saints Day, November 1st. We're also observing Reformation Sunday. It's our 34th Sunday of gathering in this way. If you're watching this message Saturday night or earlier in the day on Sunday, it's not too late for me to remind you of our drive-through giving event on Sunday, November 1st from 11 to 1 in our church parking lot. This is a masks required event. We are asking folks to stay in their cars and bring your school supplies for our partner schools, pantry items for Joseph's Pantry, winter items for our coat closet, and financial contributions for the church. You will pull into the Burke Street lot and be greeted by me and by some masked and distanced volunteers who will unload your items. I hope that you will come by. I am so excited about this event, and I hope to see you there. Whether you have something to drop off or not, I hope you will come by and say hello. I would love to see you. We will begin our worship today with one of the great songs of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever.
Would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates, through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come, and be with us. Amen. And now we have a word for our kids from Aaron Roberts.
Good morning and happy November to everyone. Life seems to be standing still for many of us because we can't do a lot of the stuff we'd like to do, but the calendar keeps moving ahead. Halloween is done and it'll be Thanksgiving before we know it. And this election that has been on our TVs for what seems like forever is nearly done too. Life moves ahead. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul tells his friends in Philippi that he knows that the one who began a great work among you will bring it to completion. Paul is very fond of the Philippians, and he knows they are good Christians who can help others. He reminds them that God started the good work inside of us, and all we have to do is keep it going in a positive direction. He knows all the great things that we can do, but will we do them? That part isn't up to anyone except us. Nobody has ever been perfect, so we won't reach that goal. But we can be good to ourselves and to each other every day, and that'll make us better and better every day. Just try to be better every day. That's our goal. And you don't have to take a huge leap forward every day. Being better can be done in little steps. Like now for me, I finally found out how to correctly spell Philippians. And it was my computer that taught me. I've used that word in conversation for a long time, but when I first typed it for this sermon, Microsoft Word underlined it in red. What I wrote looked right, but my laptop disagreed. As crazy as it sounds, Word was correct, and I was wrong. So right at this moment, I know how to spell Philippians. One L, two P's. I'm now a little bit better at spelling, and I hope that'll continue tomorrow too. God knows we can do great things, and it's up to us to try a little harder for those great things each day. Please pray with me. Lovely God, we love you. Thanks for starting something good inside me. Please keep giving me the strength and energy to make that good stuff great one day. Perfection won't happen, but I can still be good to all my family and neighbors. Amen. Bye, everybody. Enjoy November.
Our scripture reading for today comes from Philippians, the book we just recently read in its entirety as a congregation. I am reading from Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. And then from Philippians 3, beginning at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This weekend we mark Reformation Day. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther famously nailed his 95 theses to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, which is now in Germany. That moment is regarded as the start of the Reformation, a grand movement that shaped, changed the history of the church and indeed of the world. The goal of the Reformation was right there in the name of the thing. The idea was to reform the church, to shape it again. Luther and others were concerned about corruption in the church, specifically the practice of selling indulgences. This was a complex system where people who had means could buy prayers and sacraments, and so, said the church, they could buy God's favor. They could buy salvation. for themselves or for those in whose name they purchased. Luther's 95 Theses was a diatribe disputing this practice and its theology. He and the other reformers insisted that forgiveness and salvation are gifts of grace, gifts from God. And the church is not in the business of selling these things as if they were human commodities. On this and on other issues, the reformers sought to change and reform the church. And we are heirs of that movement. Our Presbyterian faith has a heritage that goes back to this Reformation movement 503 years ago, this very weekend. One of the signature phrases of the Reformation, still quoted today and still present in our Presbyterian Book of Order, is the idea that the church is reformed and always to be reformed according to the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. Reformed and always being reformed. Baked right into this movement, baked right into our heritage as Presbyterians, is this idea that none of this is finished or stagnant. We never have full understanding, complete clarity. Instead, we affirm that we are on the journey, always being reformed, continually learning and growing and changing, both individually and as a body, the church. Our faith and the way it's expressed through the church is not ever stagnant or stationary. It's always a process. It's always changing. And Luther and the other reformers were humble enough to know that they did not have all the answers, and that what they were doing to reform the church was not going to take care of everything or be a one-and-done, complete procedure that made the church all right and perfect forever and ever. Amen. Instead, they humbly reminded themselves and us that we are reformed and always being reformed in the truest sense of that word, constantly being formed again. And I will have you note the agency in the phrase. This gets misquoted sometimes as the church reformed and always reforming, but that's not how it goes. We say quite clearly, and it is significant, that the church is reformed and always to be reformed according to the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. You see, we are not the actors, the agents of this Reformation. God is. It is not something we do. It's something we participate in, but it's something that God does in and to and through us by the Word and the Spirit acting upon our lives. In this election season, all this talk about being reformed makes me think about that powerful opening clause of our Constitution. We, the people, in order to form a more perfect union. It's not in order to form a perfect union, just more perfect. Again, baked right in is this idea that we've not yet arrived or completed the journey or have it all figured out, but we're on the way. The founders of our country, like the reformers of the church, had a clear sense that they did not have all the answers, and this was not going to be a one and done, everything's fixed forever and ever, amen, proposition. They did not think that the revolution, the founding of the United States, would be a single moment that took care of everything and addressed every issue that might ever come up. Instead, they reminded themselves and us that we are always on the way, learning and growing and seeking that more perfect union. That's why they left room for interpretation and amendment to that same Constitution. They knew it wasn't stationary, stagnant, but it was a document that would have to be interpreted and understood in different ways at different times. They knew that it would need to be a living document, growing and changing as we grow and change as a nation. And we've done that. We've amended it and come to new understandings over time. That's also why the founders built in things like checks and balances and co-equal branches of government and tools like censure and impeachment, because we know that humans are imperfect and systems are not perfect and that from time to time, over and over, we will have to form and reform ourselves. We will need to steer the ship and sometimes right its direction in order to seek those new ways forward. And that's why it's so important that we vote every time we get the chance, that we speak out, that we advocate for what's good and right. We are participating in that seeking of a more perfect union. We are seeking out that reform. Because ultimately, this idea is a hopeful stance. The idea of a more perfect union, the idea of a church being reformed by God, means that we hope to make things better this year than they were last year. We think it's possible to correct our mistakes and learn from them and get better by the grace of God and get a little closer to perfection, even if we know we can never get all the way there. We hope that we will be able to improve for the next generation upon what was there for the previous generation. And so we keep at it. We keep growing and developing and learning and progressing forward, always being reformed, always moving toward more perfect. This weekend is also All Saints Day, November 1st, a day in our church calendar that we set aside to remember those who have died. In a few minutes in our prayer, we will do that. The idea of All Saints Day ties in really well with this whole idea of being reformed and of the more perfect peace. Because we use that word saint very differently than our Roman Catholic siblings. For them, a saint is a special category of person, someone who has been recognized because they have risen to or achieved a certain level of faithfulness or of perfection, demonstrated by things like miracles. But in our tradition, we confess that we are all saints. We talk about the communion of the saints, the way that we are all connected and all blessed and all called. When we remember the saints, including the reformers and including our nation's founders, it's not about thinking that they were perfect or had it all figured out any more than we do. It's about giving thanks for the journey they were on and the legacy they left behind and the ways that God blessed them and blessed us through them. When we say that we are all saints, we affirm exactly what I've been talking to you about this morning. That none of us has arrived or completed the journey. We are ever on the way. We are all works in progress. We know, as those who went before us knew, that there is always room for improvement, always a growing edge, always new understandings. We are constantly being reformed, even now, by God and by the Spirit. We don't believe that any of us is perfect or holy today. But we strive humbly and yet actively to be a little bit better and a little bit more holy, a little bit more faithful, more deeply kind, more radically generous than we were yesterday. And then tomorrow we'll try again. We saints are blessed by God to be on the journey, pressing on, as Paul says, progressing forward. Our faith is that unending arc toward justice, that continual seeking of what is more perfect, that hopeful process of continually being reformed by God. My favorite All Saints hymn ends with this line, "The saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too." May it be so. In the church, in the nation, in our lives. Amen. As we head toward the election on Tuesday, I have selected a hymn by Carolyn Winfrey Gillette called In Times of Great Decision. It's a fitting hymn. It was written in 2004 at the time of another election. Will you join me in singing? In times of great decision, be with us, God, we pray. Give each of us a vision of Jesus' loving way. When louder words seem endless and other voices sure, remind us of your promise, your love and truth endure. O God, whose gifts are countless, you send us bearing peace. You fill our dreams with justice for all communities. You give us global neighbors that all may justly live. May those we choose as leaders reflect the life you give. O God, you bridged the distance, you opened wide your door. You call us by our presence to reach and serve the poor. You teach us welcome strangers, seek justice on the earth. May those we choose as leaders see every person's worth. You call on every nation to put aside all greed, to care for your creation and for your ones in need. To care for those in prison, for children, for the ill. In times of great decision, may we choose leaders well. Come before God with gifts and offerings that reflect your joy and gratitude for God's grace and goodness. Come before God with praise and worship, joining with all the saints, to present to God with gladness a portion of all that God has entrusted to us. We will sing the doxology together as an act of dedication and commitment.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God all creatures here below. Praise God above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
And now would you please join me in a series of prayers, both spoken and silent. On this All Saints Sunday, Lord, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses, saints and martyrs, faithful people in every age. You have knit us together as a human family and granted us communion and fellowship within the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Today, in grief, but in the hope of the resurrection, we remember before you those who have died. Harlan Bell, Zach Boothby, Jimmy Brown, August Bunn, Christine Richardson Gross, Charlie Shedd, Evelyn Singer, Danny Smith, Gage Usher, Timmy Ward, Zena White Forsyth. We remember also the multitude who have died in the current pandemic. Humbly we commend all these to your presence, mercy, and eternal care, O God. Strengthened by their witness and supported by their fellowship, may we run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. In this election week, Lord, hear our prayer. God of all the nations, we pray for all the peoples of the earth in every nation, and for those in authority among them. Particularly this week, we pray for the United States of America, for all who call this country home, for those who lead, and for all those running for office. We give you thanks for the freedoms we enjoy, including the right to elect our leaders and to peacefully share power. And we pray over this current contentious election. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Make us, who come from many nations with many different languages and perspectives, one united people. Defend our liberties and give those whom we have entrusted with the authority of government spirit of wisdom, that there might be justice and peace in our land. Help us as good citizens to respect neighbors whose views differ from ours, so that without partisan anger we may work out issues that divide us and elect candidates to serve the common welfare. When times are prosperous, let our hearts be thankful to you, and in troubled times, do not let our trust in you ever fail. Through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And as we do every week, we pray now for one another and for the world. Hear us now, O God, as we name out loud or in silence our specific concerns and the particular ways we need your grace. God of compassion and mercy, we lift up to you those in particular need of your care, the sick and the hurt, and those who care for them, the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, the hungry, the poor, and those most vulnerable, the long oppressed, and those still waiting for justice, the anxious, and those who feel most alone. These and all our prayers we make in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
I charge you now, my friends, as I always do, to go forth from this time of worship, to love and to serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that you are saints of God, called by name, loved in the Spirit, ever being reformed by the Word, and set aside for faithfulness and service. So press on in hope and in faith and in love. And as you go, know that you do not ever go alone. For come what may, no matter what, the God of peace that is with us now, will abide with us forever. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.